This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to this special one-off podcast marking Women's History Month. Chris Clark has kindly joined me for a look into the Crystal Palace women's team, and we have an interview with midfielder Lee Nicol.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fantime videos, choose your matchday squad, post-match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Sam. Hi, everyone.
How are you doing?
Happy International Women's Month, Women's History Month.
Whoop, whoop. just before we start, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsors. Flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to mow your lawn. Why not keep your spring cleaning going with some below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped have an exclusive offer for our audience. Use code BOTN to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the other 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They are here to make sure your balls are smooth and smelling nice.
Yeah, I mean, what do I even say? I mean, what I'm going to say about that is that, I mean, obviously it's been fantastic listening to the variations on a theme as people from the Back of the Nest community have shared their feedback on the products, especially, I mean, DR's unboxing video back at the start when things arrived, when he's saying, oh my days, and looking at everything was just incredible. On a personal level, I will say, I bought this product, annoyingly, before Back of the Nest got this arrangement in place, so I didn't get my 20% off. I bought the Lawnmower 2.0. Now you can get the 3.0 as part of this offer. So I haven't had that pleasure as yet, but I may well be using the code to sample the product myself, and I strongly encourage other listeners to the show to do the same. I mean, you've actually had some of the stuff sent through. I think, was it the scent that you've had, Sam, sent to you?
Yeah, we got the aftershave, so I could give that to my husband, which is very pleasant. It smells very expensive.
Yeah, and I mean, I know Nick said that, you know, you've got to be careful not to mistake that for the ball toner and put that downstairs, because that sting pretty badly, I imagine.
Indeed.
So yeah, so that's one for you to imagine and wince. Just a recap, get 20% off and free shipping with the code BOTN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code BOTN at manscaped.com. It's spring cleaning, baby, and your balls will thank you.
So changing themes slightly from male grooming to women's football.
Well, and this is the interesting thing. It's really important for us to remember that we're now talking about the women's game and the women's team. We're not talking about Palace ladies. I remember over many years, people used to talk about, you know, when you had a female, a linesman, you know, a fireman, you know, and now we've moved to firefighter and we've gone with, referee's assistant, these gender neutral terms, which is good. And similarly, when we're talking about the players in red and blue who happen to be women, we're talking about the women's team. We're not talking about the Palace ladies. So, we've had a women's team since 1992. But, you know, in 2019, it was rebranded from the Palace Ladies to the Crystal Palace Women. And, you know, that's an important shift, I think, in recognition. And there's also an important thing to remember. I mean, there was the shift in the right direction in terms of, you know, the profile of the game. I know that my young niece was very excited to see female football players and to see the Women's World Cup back in 2019 actually getting coverage on mainstream TV. And actually, that's probably the the biggest headline of recent weeks is that in the week that we're recording this, it's been announced that the BBC will show the Women's Super League on network free-to-air TV for the first time. It's a landmark three-year broadcast deal and will bring the women's game to a mass audience. I can't quite say for the first time, but it's certainly going to give it that much greater exposure than the few hundred people who've tended to go to games at Bromley. You know, there's a chance for the team to grow its own following, which would be really good.
100% agree. And I think that the some of the things that we talk over with Lee are referring to how she's seen the fan base change and grow since she started playing. And I do think that the impact that better publicity in terms of having things on TV and the general accessibility will make another big difference and hopefully get people more interested and following the game more closely in the future.
When we interviewed Lee, it was actually before the Liverpool game. That's since been received a little bit of coverage on the last review show. Or match report. On the last match report, there was a brief discussion of the fact that unfortunately the Palace team went down to a 1-0 defeat against Liverpool. But you know, that's a pretty strong showing against a team, you know, that is known to be a strong team in the league. And I really want to say, with regard to Lee, I mean, she was very generous with her time. It was a great idea of yours, Sam, to set this interview up. It's a really enjoyable interview, and I hope that listeners will get their Palace fix, their back of the nest fix, by listening to this, getting an insight. It's something a little bit different from the normal fare that we knock out on Back of the Nest. You've got you've got Sam in front of the mic for a start, so there's automatically 100% more diversity than we usually manage to achieve. It's a fun interview. Both we found out some interesting insights into who Lee is, what her background is, what her career has been like, but also some light-hearted moments, such as whether she prefers whiskey or wine, and whether she likes square sausage or black pudding. So you're going to get to that when you get to listen to it.
Indeed. So without further ado, perhaps we should hand over to our pre-recorded interview.
Yeah. Hello, past Chris, and hello, past Sam.
So we're very happy to welcome Lee Nicol here with us. He's going to answer some questions about her career and women's football in general. So thank you for joining us, Lee.
Thank you, guys. It's my pleasure.
First things first, give us an injury update. How is the ankle?
Oh, it's going slower than what I wanted, but we're starting to make some really big strides in the past week. So that's hopefully a positive thing. So maybe a month, 6 weeks, 2 weeks if I have it my way. But we're making good strides now, but it's been slower than what we wanted it to be.
Fair enough. And can you give us a bit of background from your career so far? Because you've obviously played for quite a few clubs and Scotland as a country. So give us a bit of an overview to introduce yourself.
Yeah, so I started my career off at Celtic from the age of 12 until about 16. And that's when I then moved down to London on my own to sign for Arsenal, where I spent 2 years. And then from that, I then made the step to Reading to get first team experience. And then from Reading, I went to Millwall Lionesses for 3 years. And then from that, I went to Charlton for a year. And then I had some time out the game. And then I've recently just came back and I've signed for Palace in summer. Alongside that, I've represented my country at all youth age groups as well. So I've had a lot of experience at different clubs.
And enjoyed them all, I'm sure.
I have, yeah. I've had good moments in the mall and difficult times in the mall as well. But yeah, predominantly positive experiences, every single one of them, without a doubt.
Excellent. And have you always been a midfielder, or did you start in a different position and you've worked your way into the midfield?
I did start my career off as an attacking midfielder, and I've pushed back to a defensive midfielder now. So not much change, but enough change for me.
Cool. And talking of change, I mean, you're still fairly new to Palace, having signed for us last July. What's been your best experience with the club so far?
Oh, just the environment, the team cohesion, the journey that we're on as players and staff. We come in as a brand new squad, and just where we're at now, it's an absolute honour to just sit in the sidelines and watch the girls. I think just the whole journey of really bonding on the pitch is starting to click. We're starting to get it. We're stopping conceding as many goals. I think just that whole process to how we've got there, I think people think that it's just happened. But there's been a lot of hours on the training pitch put into getting it to this moment. So just to see it starting to pay off, and results are getting a lot tighter now, so to us that's a massive, massive step. So just being part of that and seeing everyone improve physically, mentally, technically, tactically, the whole journey's just been amazing, to be perfectly honest with you.
And tell us a bit about how the rivalry translates into the women's game. I mean, you talked about starting out at Celtic, you've played for Millwall and Charlton, you know, big rivals to our club. So how's the transition worked out?
So back in Scotland, Celtic v Rangers, it is what you'd imagine. It doesn't matter if you're a male or female in Scotland, Celtic v Rangers is still a massive deal. It still has the same kind of interest. And that game is a non-negotiable win, to be honest. It's one of those games that you do feel the pressure, and it's not about how good you play, it's literally about getting the result. So from about 13, I think I was, when I played my first Old Firm, it was pressure, but it was incredible. And then when I've moved down here, I think there's massive rivalries, especially when it comes to Palace and Charlton. And I've obviously been at both clubs, and I've had really good experiences at both clubs. So to me, a game of football is a game of football, and I'm going to go on and win it. And I've got a lot of friends and a lot of love for Charlton, but my life is Palace now. So whatever game it is in front of me personally, I'm going to win it. But definitely there's some girls in the team that you feel that game means a little bit more to them than us travelling up to Durham or Liverpool, in terms of the closer to their heart as such. And it's bragging rights. We want to be the team in London in the Championship that players talk about.
And sort of looking back in the last year of your your career, despite the injury, how have you found it playing during the pandemic? Because obviously it's been a different experience for you.
Yeah, it's been so different. Now I don't know how I'm going to personally cope when fans come back, because we are used to being able to hear everything on the pitch and hearing all the instructions off the pitch. But to start with, it was tough to get into the mentality that it wasn't a friendly. It was a fixture, and it was 3 points. So it was really, really strange to kind of be like, guys, this is a league game. This isn't a pre-season friendly behind closed doors. And it took time, but now it's completely natural. And you can... One thing that I think we've benefited from is how much we now communicate on the pitch. We try and create that atmosphere ourselves internally, because the fans aren't there, sadly. So I would love the fans there, but it's been really, really tough. But the main thing is that we're still able to play football, and hopefully we're keeping the fans at home happy with some of the results that we're getting and the improvement that you can see by... Even though we're still losing against Liverpool, but to go from 4-0 to 1-0, you can see that there's a hell of an improvement there. So hopefully we're bringing some excitement to their lives, and that hopefully we've maybe got a more fan base going to come and see us when we can.
Absolutely. And actually, our next question really is, what are you most looking forward to when fans are allowed back into the grounds?
You know what, just to meet them, to hear what Palace fans are like, because... I've been to Palace women games just as a supporter, really, to watch a fixture, and they were nuts. They were amazing. They were so passionate. They were so loud and very family orientated. A lot of kids, a lot of family days out, a lot of instruments, a lot of noise. So to be a player on that pitch with that backing behind you, it's that extra 10%, and it really gets you through the game. And on Sunday when we were sitting in the stand watching the game, we were having a conversation that, do you think if the fans were here that we could get a draw out this game, we could push on that little bit more? So we sit and have those conversations, and everyone speaks so highly of the Palace fans and how great they are, win, lose or draw with the women, because I think one thing you can never question is our work rate and our willingness to, we want to win. And I think that's all that fans want, really, is just to know that you're giving your all in a Palace shirt. And if you can see that that's happening, then can't complain, really.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, I mean, a lot of fans are really keen to support their club, you know, in at every level and in every different opportunity they get, whether that's an under-23s game, whether that's a women's game. And on that basis, some fans have complained about the fact that, you know, some of the women's games happen at the same time as men's teams' matches, and that your games aren't held at Selhurst Park, or, you know, too many of them aren't. So do you think that's something that might change in the future?
Look, the better that we do this season and next season, the more opportunities we are going to get. So I think Palace before, they haven't had great results in the league. So the better we're doing, the more seriously people's going to take us. There comes a time where we need to really put in the work and get people to pay attention to us. And the way you do that is going and winning games and turning you being an underdog into teams that are expected to win that game, or people that you're playing against know that they're up for a fight. So I think as long as we keep doing that 100%, I think we will get complete backing from fans, from people that are not fans of the women's team, from the club itself. So I think we hold most of the responsibility, because the better we do, the more difficult it can be to ignore. So I think full responsibility is on us. I think we need to be consistently good and get consistent results for people to really want to invest into us, their time, their money, resources. So I think we take full responsibility for that. And I think that's a big part of our motivation this year, is let's go and do something and really put Palace on the women's map at the elite level. And I think that's certainly, we're on the road to do that.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fantime videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
This podcast is brought to you in association with Pitch Sport, an excellent fun app that enables you to do match day predictions and give your ratings on the players and much, much more. It's there's various members of the Back of the Nest team are on there. You can join our league and make so-called virtual friends with us on the app. It's a good fun way of getting into practice for if you were to, for example, be doing any of those kind of gambling activities like the ones that a certain television company offer for free, where you try and predict the match scores and you can win money doing that. But with this, it's mainly about just encouraging you to share some banter and to argue get those predictions right. So you just need to register to download the Pitch Sport app. You can find that, I think it's Pitch Sport DMM on both the App Store and on the Google Play Store. You can find myself, Chris Clark, on the app on as my code if you want to sign up to be a rival of mine is WVGAV. And I know that Hambo's is KUGKUT. So if you want to join the fun, then feel free to join us on Pitch Sport, who are good friends, and it's a decent fun.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're going to ask you a few quick fire round kind of questions, just sort of get an idea of you as a person as well as a player. Starting with an easy one, hopefully. Who was or is your footballing hero?
Paul Scholes.
Nice. Since we've lost Chris, I'll just keep going with this. Who controls the music in the dressing room and what's the go-to tune before a game?
Chev Wilson, and anything that's not got any lyrics in it is the go-to songs. We don't have a say in it.
Excellent. When you're watching football on TV or live, rather than playing, do you shout at the players like the spectators do?
No.
That's probably a good thing. And who's the funniest in the dressing room?
Me?
Good.
Kate Natkill. She's ditzy.
What would be your guilty pleasure TV show? So mine is 90 Day Fiancé on TLC.
Oh, I've got a lot, you know.
We can accept more than one answer.
I've got there's loads that I can't even remember now. I think the only things I watch are stupid. What have I been watching recently? I love chick flicks, anything that's just immature, stupid. Oh my goodness, I'm under the spotlight. I'm so sorry. Can we skip this one?
Yes, we can come back to this one. And who's your favourite music artist at the moment?
At the moment, it literally changes per my emotions, but I'm listening to J. Cole at the minute a little bit more than not.
There's a lot of time in lockdown to listen to a lot of music and watch a lot of TV.
It changes hourly my moods, what kind of music I'm listening to, where I'm off to.
Nice. And we kind of want to test whether moving down towards London has, or to London, has changed your Scottishness. Okay. So just five questions. So we've got square sausage or link sausage?
Square sausage.
Black pudding or fruit pudding?
Black pudding.
High road or low road?
High road.
Whiskey or wine?
Wine.
And I wrote this one without actually thinking how I was going to pronounce it. So Hogmanay or Hogmanay?
Hogmanay. Yeah, Hogmanay. Nice. Yeah.
Excellent. You passed the Scottish test. Aside from the wine, you passed that test.
I won't get grief for being English again then.
No.
I've done one the other day and it was a really intelligent one about mountains, about the history of Scotland, and my English housemate's got more than me.
Oh, no.
It was terrible.
We didn't go too highbrow. This is not a highbrow podcast, fortunately. But that being said, if we were to take it back to some serious topics, how would you say you've seen the fan base change since you've been playing? I mean, I'm hoping you're going to say grow, but...
It's been dramatic, honestly. It's like a different sport. It's like going from your football, senior football all over again, that transition. It must have went up by at least 100%. Before, it was always only the same kind of people that came to watch us play, and they were amazing, and they helped grow the game. But now there's families coming out. There's kids with your name on the back of their kit. And, yeah, it's amazing. A long way to go, but we'll take where we're at the minute. And I think we've got a lot of the Lionesses to thank for that and how well they've done in the 2015 World Cup and the 2019 World Cup, was it, or Euros? Yeah, I think got them to thank for a lot of that, and that we can build on it.
This question, one of our podcast presenters, Nick, would like to know. So 100 years ago, when the women's football was really popular in the First World War,
yep,
and then got banned temporarily, for, well, temporarily, for like 50 years. If that ban hadn't happened, how do you think the game would be perceived differently today?
I think it would be quite similar to tennis, in a sense that people watch tennis because they're watching tennis. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, they just watch tennis. They watch Wimbledon or tune into Wimbledon or the Australian Open just to watch a good game of tennis. They don't look at it as if the female tennis is on or the male tennis is on. It's just the tennis is on. So I think that would probably be where we're maybe at, because sponsorships opportunities would maybe be a little bit more equal. It would be right now, in terms of football as a business, we are just really starting out as in our female football industry. So it will get there. It's going to take a long, long time. But I do think that's where it would have been had it not have stopped, because I think people would have just looked at female football as just football instead of women's football, and men's football is just football. And I think there would have been a lot more resources and coaches available to then get the best out of the ability that was coming through and give them the proper training as well.
So when you look at the way that female players and broadcasters are unfortunately abused on social media, what do you think needs to be done to discourage this type of behaviour?
I think social media need to take full responsibility for it. I do think that there needs to be a stronger hatred policy. There needs to be a quicker reaction to these things. Right now, when they do get removed, it's way too slow, and that's if they get removed. So I think it's on social media. It needs to get removed, because there is a platform that allows these people to have a voice, and they wouldn't say it on the street if you walk past them. So I just think social media needs to take a lot of the blame for it. So no matter what we do, what the other individual behind a screen that's a keyboard warrior, social media has got the key to this, and they need to spend more money sorting it out. Otherwise, they'll lose a lot of their users long term.
So at junior or youth level, mixed gender teams are allowed to play up to the age of 17. Do you think that is an appropriate age? Should it be raised or lowered?
I personally think that it comes down to each individual. There's some girls that are younger that are really, really advanced physically, and it really benefits them to keep progressing at their rate. And I think that some take a lot longer than others to physically develop. So I do think it comes down to a case-by-case situation. Now, you don't need to play in a mixed team if you don't want to, so it's not as if it's forced upon you. You can go and play for a female only team if you really want to. So I do think it comes down to common sense at times. Like if you've got a tiny little girl playing against under 15 boys and she can't even get on the ball because it's affecting her that much, then I think that's room to go and play female only football. But then those that are bigger girls, more advanced, physically stronger, quicker, I think the right thing for them is to play against the boys and match them up for as long as you can, because that means that they're progressing and they're still developing and not getting away with bad habits because they're playing against smaller girls that are nowhere near their level yet physically, but technically it might be the same. But I see it all the time. There's girls that are just so physically advanced that they get away with such bad habits that then come 18 years old, when the game levels out, they're stuck in their bad habits. So I do think that there's an argument for all, and I think it comes down to the individual, and I think it's great that the option is there.
Excellent. And with that in mind, what sort of advice would you give to girls or young women who are looking to get into the game professionally?
I would say that make sure that you don't compare yourself to your mate on your left-hand side or your teammate or your schoolmate in front of you. Never compare your journey to anyone else's. You will all progress at different rates. Someone might get all the success to start with, but you're on your own journey. So it might take you 5 extra years, it might take you 5 extra months, or you might be that individual that's smashing all your mates out the park. It's important that you keep on your path and you don't compare it to someone else's, and you just need to work harder than that person to your left and right. And as long as you keep doing that and you're putting in more hours and dedicating your life to it even more, as well as having fun, I think that's just really important. If someone told me that your journey is not going to be the same as anyone else's when I was younger, it would have made a lot of the difficult roads a lot easier to accept.
Excellent. And how would you describe the condition of the women's game at the moment?
massively improving. It's starting to move at a speed where even people like myself, I'm like, oh, I need to keep up with this. It's massively improving and very, very quickly, but we have got a long way to go. Everyone taking responsibility for it, we've got a long way to go from getting female kits to play in, to the backing from the FA, to mental health support, to PFA support, to there's so much that needs to be done. But that will come the better we do. The more people invested in female football, so the more fans we get, the more budget we've got, the knock on it, the dominoes effect it has on everyone. So we're on the right path to getting all of that, and I'm pretty sure it will happen. I hope that I'm part of that journey.
Amazing. Thank you ever so much for joining us and for answering some sensible, some silly questions. We really appreciate you taking the time. If there's anything else you want to say, to any messages?
No, just thank you so much to everyone on Twitter and social media for your support to the women's team. It really does keep us going, and we speak about it all the time, and we think you're absolutely amazing. We can't really believe the support you've given us, and you haven't met half of us, so we really appreciate it, and we cannot wait to meet yours. Hopefully you can come and watch us, and we'll get 3 points, and we'll enjoy celebrations afterwards. So we're really looking forward to meeting yours, and thank you so much for the positivity on social media and Twitter in particular.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fantime videos, choose your matchday squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
So that was our very entertaining interview with Lee. And again, I want to give our thanks to her for taking the time to speak with us. The Palace women typically play their home matches at Hayes Lane on Sunday afternoons, and we would of course encourage you to come along and support the side once fans are able to return to games. Tickets are available in person or online in advance via the club's ticketing site, and you can follow the team on all the normal socials under Crystal Palace FC Women or CPFC_W.
Thanks everyone for tuning into this show and giving it a listen. We'll be back after the international break. Palace, of course, the men's team, plays Everton on Easter Monday, and that will be reviewed in the same show as the preview show for the Chelsea game the following weekend. So look out for that midweek, the week starting on the 5th of April. Thank you, everyone, and speak to you soon.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.